You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. Look, I'm no beer expert, but I do play one on podcasts. And that's why you should trust me and that Oscar Blues Brewing Company is one of the best beers out there, the original people to put craft beer in a can with their Dale's Pale Ale, which, by the way, is also delicious. So, you know, convenient to support that. And they've got all kinds of flavors, 4 different locations, 2 in Colorado, 1 in Austin, 1 in North Carolina. Delicious beers, big supporter of OneOfUs.net. Well worth going out of your way to go to the breweries and check it out, where you can get lots of seasonals not available elsewhere, as well as their homemade sodas. Oh my God, they're so good. And just buy them in the store, because you can find their cans all over the place. So delicious. Also, please, if you're not already a subscriber, I mean, come on, as little as $2 a month, $5 a month, or if you want to go up to 10 or 25 as well, there's different perks at every single level where you get lots of bonus stuff inside of the forums of extra podcasts and videos and all sorts of stuff that we do. It is the only reason we're able to keep going. Also, think about liking us on all our various different social media, especially our YouTube page. We'd love to get more likes on there. That does make a difference because we do get ad revenue from those things. So please, if you go on there and subscribe to our YouTube page, that makes a difference as well. I admit, there is definitely part of me that every time I think of the idea of, like, what are you going to do when your parents are old enough they can't take care of themselves anymore, like, I just start to have a panic attack, because I'm like, that will never happen, never have to worry about it. I feel like the moment my mom calls and she's like, I forgot where I put my keys, I'd be like, okay, time to kill myself so I never have to deal with it.
I'm already starting to deal with that.
I'm there. Not with my parents, I've had to deal with my mother-in-law's, but my parents, you know, are getting older.
Yeah.
Well, they do that.
Recently had to deal with that. Aging sucks. I don't like it.
I mean, it feels like we should already have robots we could just put our old people's brains in, so then they're fine.
I need
fine.
A robot for my body. At the
I'm moment. Ready now. So, I'm like, the only downside is no more, you can't enjoy pizza anymore, right? Other than that, you're just like, yeah, everything else I feel like I got enough of. I'm good. Yeah. Let's move on and live forever.
Pizza. Is that really living?
No, is it really?
No, it's not. That sounds terrible, Chris. Thanks.
And there was a time when I was younger that the idea of life without weed would have sounded really awful. Now I don't give shit anymore. But this character in particular, this movie Boundaries follows Christopher Plummer. Plummer would be horrified of the idea of living life without staying stoned.
Oh, man.
You know what this movie reminded me of? And I don't know if you guys remember this. You might. There's a movie, I want to say it was called Flashback, with Dennis Hopper and Kiefer Sutherland. Kiefer Sutherland was like an FBI agent, and his dad was like an old hippie.
I don't
know. It was like kind of an action comedy.
No. It was, oh my God.
Wasn't it Flashback?
It was Dennis Hopper.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I thought you said and Kiefer Sutherland. I thought you said Donald Sutherland.
No. Kiefer Sutherland was the son of Dennis Hopper.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But it had a sort of like thing where Dennis Hopper was like, yeah, he was kind of playing a Ken Kesey-ish type guy. And Kiefer was the straight-laced son who's like in the FBI. And of course, they end up having
it's that joke about old people smoke pot, kids.
Right.
You know, and it's like, actually, I've met plenty of old people who do.
I have smoked pot with some of those people, even when I was younger. But in this particular case, this is not an action comedy. This
not
is more of a road trip family bonding comedy, which I know. Immediately, you're like, yep, no longer interested, because there's a lot of those, and they're not usually anything better than it was fine.
Yeah.
But this particular one, I actually thought had a lot of good stuff to it.
It was charming.
Really?
Vera Farmiga plays a really disorganized lady.
Oh, my God.
Like, just way, like, having trouble making her life work at all. She has a teenage son, played by Louis McDougall, who was the lead in A Monster Calls. She is to replace the affection of a man in her life. She has replaced that with being a dog adopter.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mean so much as replacing the affection for you, but you know what it's like to be a, like, have way too many dogs in your house.
Yes, I do, unfortunately, and it's sad that you know that about
me. She can't not adopt any stray animal.
Dude, there was one point.
They adopt her, though, guys.
There was one point at Lara's house, she had like 5 Australian shepherds run around the house, and I was like, this is too much.
This woman has way more. Vera Farmiga's character has way more than that.
She has dogs and cats. And they're all special needs, I think.
Yeah, they're all special needs, and she just picks them up where when she's like, it's like they find me, right? And we see along the way, like, Christopher Plummer's trying, keeps trying to call her, and she doesn't want to answer. She's like, I don't want anything to do with him. My dad is a bad guy.
She's very estranged from her father.
Yeah, and their kid is, in his own way, a special needs kid.
He's coping the best way he can, and he's... You know.
Yeah. He draws. He has no dad around. He draws, has a habit of drawing. He's an artist. Quite a good artist.
Yeah.
But he draws. The problem is he draws everyone around him naked.
And he draws very disturbing drawings of people.
Yeah. They're not okay.
And sexually graphic drawings of people. Which, of course, raises some questions at the school. I mean, this is a woman whose life is falling apart. Her kid's in trouble at school. Her job is... She seems to be some kind of personal assistant. Literally, her only friend left in the world is this lady who hires her as a personal assistant.
Right. He's not even really her friend.
You know, she has a boyfriend, but, you know,
not really, just
boyfriends are scared the minute they meet them because they got the weird kid and they got all the dogs.
Yeah.
You know, and everything seems to stem from the fact that she was raised by a single father who was a career criminal and drug dealer and was frequently absent. And so basically she had to raise her and her younger sister, who in the movie is played as an adult by Kristen Schaal. And
yeah, Kristen Schaal, always nice to see in it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm always happy to see her.
But obviously this woman has a lot, dare I say, she has boundary issues. This is one of those movies where it's like, it's right in the nose, boundaries.
So, yeah.
They have boundary issues. And Christopher Plummer is being kicked out of his nursing home. So...
Presumably for growing weed in it.
Oh, because he is deemed to be a bad influence. So this crotchety old man finally convinces her to drive him across country to dump him at the other sister's house. So it's basically a road trip from Seattle to Los Angeles. And like any, it's quite predictable, like any road trip movie, it's pretty structure bound by just various episodes that they move from one episode to another. And he's going to go ahead and sell weed along the way.
Yeah, which she does not know because she would not have heard that.
Right.
But he's forming kind of a – like the thing about him is they're like – she doesn't want him, her son, to have a relationship with him because he is really charming
and he is
like,
a bad
easy
influence
to kind of like fall in love with. But he will always abandon you and leave you in the dust. And he's like, you're going to – my son is so alone as it is. You're just going to break his heart.
Right.
But – like, he doesn't give a shit. And he's like,
he's getting his, always.
Yeah, he's getting his son involved in like helping him to deal drugs along the way with a selection of colorful characters, including, I was really pleased to see Peter Fonda.
Yeah.
You know, oh, I know. Lloyd. Everybody sort of went, oh, it was nice.
I mean, as we discover, and this is not a spoiler, as we discover, Grandpa has already got an itinerary. This is more than just a trip across country to go live with his other daughter. He has about $20,000 worth of weed that he needs to get rid of.
$200,000.
Or $200,000. Yeah. I'm sorry. I lost a zero.
Yeah.
Make no mistake. The reason this movie, I'm not crazy about it. I didn't hate it. I liked it. It's got some merit. To me, the thing that
can't
really
take praise over here.
No. I mean, it has its charms. But to me, the real reason to see this movie is Christopher Plummer. God damn it, the man is a living treasure. He's in his 80s.
It's so nice to see him playing this like cantankerous fun role.
He steals the screen.
As opposed to last time we saw him where he was stepping in for Kevin, his face?
Yeah.
And that movie where he's playing just a straight up villain, which Plummer's played a lot in his career. It's a lot more fun, I'm sorry, just to see him playing a role like this where he's clearly just having a fun
time. He's having a great time, and I think as good as he is, and he is the main reason to see this movie, and I don't want to dismiss the work done by Vera Farmiga or by the young gentleman who's playing the son, because they do good work too. But he is the main reason to go see this movie. Mm-hmm. This is if you like the idea of like an old coot played by Christopher Plummer traveling across country and selling weed to folks at rest stops, then you're going to probably get some enjoyment out of this movie.
And to, once again, let's not forget Christopher Lloyd and Peter Fonda, who both get
some of his best customers.
There's a high point scene in here in Peter Fonda's house that was so funny.
Oh, my God,
I was laughing
was
so hard watching it.
Really?
There were a lot of laughs in this one.
I thought there were, too.
There were a lot of laughs.
But it's funny that you mentioned that scene, because I'm not going to spoil it, because I agree, it's a standout scene. But part of the problem for me with this movie is that it feels like it's trying to be two or three different things. It's trying to be edgy at times. It's at moments it feels like this grounded human drama. Uh-huh. And then at some point it goes into, I mean, basically sitcom level comedy. Just bizarre situations. And I'm like, I don't believe for a second any of this would actually go down the way it happens. And that's true when we finally meet the daughter. And again,
I feel like it's sort of like her identity crisis. The film suffers from the same thing.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's so strong there. I'm like, you don't need to try to prop it up with a lot of like goofy over the top comedy, or you commit to going all the way. Kristen Schaal is delightful in this, and she comes in like she seems like she's in another movie altogether.
Right.
Christopher Plummer seems like he's in a different movie.
There's a veneer of absurdity over the whole thing that I actually liked, because like I said, I feel like I've seen the bones of this movie made several times already.
Yeah.
And I liked that they were like, you know what, fuck it, let's just try and do our best to make this fun to watch as opposed to really pathos driven, which like most of them, even comedies, tend to be. And this one really isn't that concerned with it, with that level of it. It's like, it's there, mainly centered all around Vera Farmiga's deep neuroticism and her relationship with her father. But they just make it where, like, that's just an aspect of it. Really, I think they're more interested in you having fun along the way. And sure. I think on that level, they succeeded. I mean, I thought the comedy bits as they were as absurd as something as a sitcom, but generally speaking, better written than something I would expect in a regular
sure.
sitcom.
And you, but it's, I think I put that credit to the performances. Like I said, Christopher Plummer, every moment he's on screen, and fortunately he's on screen a lot, he's so grounded and makes you feel like this is a real character that no matter how bizarre everything is, you always believe him.
Yeah.
Whereas some of the other characters, they're doing yeoman's work to try to get the script across. But I just feel like they're given these really sort of over-the-top scenarios. And to me, it kind of pulled me out. I'm like, be edgy and absurd, or be kind of grounded and sentimental,
right?
Or find that balance. I'm not saying a balance could not have been established, but it didn't satisfactorily find that balance, in my opinion.
Yeah, I found it for me, actually. I was surprised how much I did enjoy this. I came out of it smiling, going, that was fun. That was a cute way to spend an hour and a half.
Yeah.
It's a pretty tight 104 minutes. It went by quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I wish there had been more Christopher Lloyd in it.
Sure.
Me too. That was a good character.
Because you're just so happy to see him.
Yep.
And basically, he's kind of at that point, because he's so old, every role he plays is Jim from Taxi.
I think this movie would have been funnier if Christopher Lloyd were the Christopher Plummer role.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, fine, you're going to go the really crazy route. Let's have old crazy pot-dealing grandpa.
They get chased by the cops, and he's like, we got to speed this roll of stories up to 88.
Yeah.
Why, grandpa? You'll see.
Yeah. Well, we're going. We don't need roads. No, it would be great. But yeah, I enjoyed it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not hating this movie. I think this is a fun movie to see, maybe at a matinee with your parents or grandparents or your in-laws if they're in town.
Yeah.
This is something the whole family can watch, assuming that, you know, they're comfortable with a little bit of graphic nudity. Portrayed in graphite, not actual graphic.
Yeah,
nudity.
Absolutely.
Just drawings.
We forgot to mention Bobby Cannavale is in here.
Yeah,
we meet up
bit,
with him, who is Vera's ex-husband. And I feel like that scene, I totally get what they were after with that sequence.
Yeah.
It didn't work for me.
But it didn't really work. It was like this thing of like trying to, because the movie goes so overboard with at first you trying to feel actually kind of charmed by him. Going, what was the problem? Why did she not? Like, what happened? And then with the sort of like, the level to which it was, he was so unrealistically he's a self-aware, complete loser.
Yeah.
But he's totally self-aware about it. And you're like, I don't buy that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's borderline sociopathic.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. That's where this movie kind of like, again with Kristen Schaal. I mean, once we get to her place, and there's a lot of really fun gags in there, but
she's
like,
so adorable.
She's adorable, but the whole gags were like, this feels like it's in a different movie, and she does not seem like a real person. I cannot believe that she has this relationship with the other characters.
Mm.
And it's a shame, because Vera Farmiga's relationship with Christopher Plummer feels really strong. It feels earned. Kristen Schaal is a hell of a lot of fun, but at some point I'm like, I don't believe this is how you would be reacting to any of this.
I felt like it would have been cool if they'd had phone calls along the way. So she's in it more than just the end and the beginning.
Yeah, I'm actually, that was probably, I think the beginning of this,
because that felt like a whole Dharma and Greg episode.
Yes, totally. And it didn't fit at all in what had happened all the way up until that point. I don't know.
Why don't we go into final thoughts? Laura, get us started.
All right. I actually, despite the fact that this is quite the imperfect film, I really enjoyed it as well. I do think it's I agree with pretty much everything Marco said. Actually, I think I agree with everyone here tonight. But it was fun. It was charming. The reason you go is Christopher Plummer, and he was very fun to watch, I think. I liked Vera Farmiga's take on the character, and I think that's basically what happened, is that the director got these really great character actors and just let them go. And so then you get this sort of mishmashy thing, and it didn't really work overall over the course of the thing, where you're happy to see these characters in action, but at the same time, it didn't really gel with what was happening in the story. So I felt like the film suffered from an identity crisis. That being said, I really did enjoy this identity crisis of a film. It's as fucked up as the major character is. So, and she's just a hot mess, but fun to watch. I enjoyed this. And
What
am I going to give this? So yeah. I'll give this, 18 or 20 crazy dogs with extra toes.
With extra toes.
18 or 20? Out of what?
Maybe more? I don't know.
Doesn't matter. It's the arbitrary. Yeah.
18 or 20 toes.
As I always say with the arbitrary number, that's just it. If you want
drawn
it to be...
on a piece of paper.
If you want it to come to where it actually resembles an actual number, you can. If you absolutely don't want it to at all, you can do that too. Because God damn it, we already gave you the review.
I was just curious.
Marco, what about you?
Like I said, this film has its flaws, but it has a lot of charm too. I think it's the actors... first and foremost, that make this material work. They do a good job with what they've been given. It is fun. There are a lot of laughs, even though I think there were some ways to adjust the tone or to make it one or the other. It's one of those films that kind of falls between two stools for me, but I still had fun with it. I think it's a good enough movie to watch maybe at a matinee. Maybe wait for it on Netflix. I wouldn't pay top dollar for it. But again, if your in-laws are in town and they're old and they don't like to drive at night, take them to Luby's for brunch. Take them to watch this. And that way they can still get home before it's dark. They'll have a great time with this. I would say I would give this a 6.5 out of 10 potted plants shoved down a teenager's pants.
Yeah, I think I definitely liked it more than you did. But I understand everything you're saying. I honestly think that this is something that would even be funny enough and absurd enough to appeal to younger people. Although certainly it's something that is a little closer to maybe your mom or dad or something coming in, like a charming little movie. I laughed throughout it. I was never bored. It's an definitely imperfect script that's perfectly delightful regardless. Boy, that feels like something they put on the poster, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of something to add, but I think we kind of said it all. It's not that complicated of a movie.
No,
we pretty much summed it up. I think that if you like these sort of,
quirky indie films that are,
quirky family indie films that are also about smoking pot,
it's not the
best one ever made. The best, I forget, there's a British one about a woman whose husband dies and she's forced to go into selling pot. And it's like this charming whole neighborhood comes together behind her type thing movie. And I forget the name of it. I remember that's like the best one ever of that.
This is like a Lifetime drama movie with bits of Dharma and Greg level comedy thrown in.
But
with a little bit of edgy humor.
But I give it 7.5 out of 10 bags of road weed.
All right. Fair enough.
Which is a shame to do that. A perfectly good bag of weed like that.
Smoke them if you got them.